You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess to you that many of us suffer in mind, body, and spirit, just as you did in the wilderness. We ask that you would deliver us, give us a peace that passes understanding, as you experienced when you faced temptation. Help us to live in your grace, in the dome, the sanctuary you carve into creation for us. Amen. Well, during the season of Lent, I've been getting a lot of prayer requests that have to do with people's suffering. People in our midst, our members, are suffering in mind, body, and spirit. We have a few members that will have had or are going to have replacement surgeries, hip, knee, shoulder. I found out that for every one of those replacements, there's always at least two doctors, two surgeons, because they're joint procedures. Ah, ha, ha, ha. But you know, there really is a lot of suffering. And suffering isn't always physical. It can be mental and spiritual. There's a tendency in our culture to have a stigma with mental illness, emotional sickness. We don't talk about it a lot. And we hardly ever, as a society, talk about spiritual sickness, which would be living in a way that's in conflict with God. But they're very real. In our gospel this morning, Jesus experiences all three when he's led into the wilderness to face temptation by Satan. The first temptation is a physical one. He is physically suffering, having not eaten for 40 days. He's famished. He could probably hardly not think straight. And the devil tempts him to relieve his physical hunger. Then he's tested emotionally. Satan leads him to the top of the temple mount in the holy city of Jerusalem. And this is an emotional temptation because he's basically inviting Jesus into despair. You can imagine Jesus had a lot of stress and maybe even wrestled with self-doubt. And Satan says, "Go ahead and jump off the temple mount. Don't worry about what'll happen. It's a temptation into despair. And the third temptation is a spiritual one. He leads Jesus to the top of a mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the earth, and says, all you have to do is worship me, the Prince of Darkness, and it's all yours. Shortcut what you believe is to be true. Compromise on your morals, and you will receive power. A spiritual temptation. These are the kinds of things each of us face every day and wrestle with. But today we're going to talk about a special person in our church history. She is mentioned on the inside back cover of our bulletin, upcoming commemorations. Her name is Perpetua. She's a saint who died in the year 02. That is 202. Long time ago. This is when the Roman Empire was still in full force. Christians were an emerging movement, and they were illegal. The Roman Empire did not like Christians because they did not worship the Caesar. You could do pretty well in the Roman Empire as long as you showed up and when you saw the statue or the Caesar himself, you bowed down, you worshiped, and you called him the Son of God, God's chosen one to lead the earth in righteousness. And the Christians said, no, we don't think so. We think that's just a guy. We're going to worship Jesus. And they were killed for this belief. Perpetua was one such person. She was born in 82. Okay, you might know someone born in 1982. She was born in 182, which means she was 20 when she died and probably 19 when she was arrested. She was a noble woman, came from a respected family, and she had a child. She had a baby when she was arrested and rounded up with other Christians. She suffered physically, spiritually, and emotionally. The greatest of her suffering was probably emotional. We know about her. When I was in seminary, one of the first classes I had to take was the history of Christianity, and our professor gave us Perpetua's written account. It's one of the oldest things written by a Christian woman. And she talks about her arrest, what it's like in prison, and her last words she wrote down before she was led into the arena. And then her martyrdom is written down the final hours by a deacon who was there caring for the Christians as they were led into the arena. So she writes in her own hand that her suffering emotionally was severe. The reason why was, for one, her father. Her father loved her dearly. She was a noble woman. Her father was a man of power. And he would come to her repeatedly in prison and say, Perpetua, this is not difficult. Just say what you need to say, and we'll get you out of here. We'll get you back on track. And according to her, she was there with her father. They had a little area where they could talk, and on the table there was a pitcher of water. And she said to her father, Father, what is this thing on the table? He said, it's a pitcher of water. She said, can you call it anything else? He said, no, it's a pitcher of water. She said, that's like me. I'm a Christian. You can't call me anything else. How set she was in her faith. And so he got angry at her, and he yelled at her. Vexed her is the word. But what was even more difficult was the fact that she was separated from her baby. And she suffered greatly at this, was tormented, until finally some of the deacons gathered together money to bribe the prison guard so they could smuggle the baby in and she could care for the baby with her. And she said when she received her baby into her arms, the prison was transformed into a palace. And she had no problem at all. The other way that Perpetua suffered, obviously, was physically. She was deprived of proper food and nutrition, living in squalid conditions in the jail. She and her sisters and brothers in the faith worried about their physical well-being if they would indeed be martyred. And spiritually, she suffered too and was tempted. days before the spectacle had been arranged in Carthage, not in Rome, not in the Colosseum, but in a smaller amphitheater in Carthage, they were given one last opportunity to recant. Her and the others were led into a tribunal, and there was a statue, an effigy of the emperor. And it was asked of her, all you have to do is very simple. You take a piece of incense, you light it, and you put it before the emperor, and you're free to go. But her and the others didn't do that, because to do that would to be to say that he was the Son of God. So she didn't. And her fate was sealed. During this season of Lent, we're talking about the days of creation and what God does for us to help provide for us. On Ash Wednesday, we mentioned the first day of creation. God created the heavens and the earth, said, let there be light. Today, we light two candles on the candelabra to remember the second day of creation. Like I mentioned with the children, God makes a dome. God makes a dome, a shelter, a place of sanctuary where life can exist. All around it is chaos. In the ancient cosmology, they understood water to be a chaotic force swirling all around us. And here God gave us this place where we could live and have organization and where life could flourish. Just as God did that billions of years ago, God still does it today. God provided to us, provides to each of us, a safe place, a deliverance, even when we suffer and chaos swirls around us. God walks with us and gives us sanctuary and security. For Perpetua, it happened through a series of visions. She had three visions that gave her strength to face these three kinds of suffering, spiritual, physical, and mental. The first vision she had addressed her physical fear. They still didn't know if they would be martyred or not. And they were praying about it, and that night she had her first vision. In her vision, she was led into the amphitheater, and there was a bronze ladder that stretched from the amphitheater up to heaven, and a giant snake on the ground. And on the side of the bronze ladder, not unlike Jacob's ladder, were all matter of daggers and swords and mauls and the kinds of things used in the arena. And one deacon went before her and made it up the ladder, and he beckoned her to follow. And she went, and she was worried about the snake, but as she went to the ladder, she stepped on the head of the snake, and she climbed up the ladder, rung by rung. And when she got to the top, there was Jesus with the company of saints gathered and a banquet feast laid before her. When she awoke from her dream, she shared it with her companions, and they understood that indeed they would be martyred, but that at the end they would be with the Lord. And at that moment, none of them feared any longer. They knew their fate, and they knew that Jesus was with them. The second dream that Perpetua had to do with her emotional struggles. She felt guilty and worried about her child and her father who were suffering so much for her. In this dream, she had a vision of her younger brother, Dinocrates, who had died as a young person, and she had always missed him. In her dream, he was suffering in torment, not quite in heaven, and she prayed for him, and then he and her went to heaven together. He was healed, transformed, was with the Lord, and they shared in a joy together. When she woke from that dream, she understood that her child and her father and even her family members that extended in the past and into the future would be in God's care. And it gave her peace for her emotional suffering. In her third vision, she faced her spiritual fear. Once again, she was led into the arena, and this time there was a gladiator. And the gladiator was huge. He was taller than the arena itself, armed with a sword to strike her down. But as she came nearer to him, she was able again to step on him, and he crumpled. And she conquered him, essentially. And when she woke from this vision and shared it with her companions, they said, that was Satan. And we know that he will be subdued by our witness. And so, after recording these visions, they were offered their final meal, and they requested to have bread and wine. And they broke the bread, and they remembered what Jesus had done for them. They passed the cup of wine, and that was all they wanted. That's where her account ends. And then the narrative is picked up by another one of the Christians who was there caring for them. And they did all give their lives in the arena, witnessing to their faith. Not suppressed by fear and pain, but in the midst of a bubble, a dome, a sanctuary of God's grace. And the same thing was true of Jesus. As we read this morning in our gospel, Jesus, the three times he's tempted physically, mentally, and spiritually, he is also given a deliverance from God. Not so much a vision, but he responds with God's word. The devil tries to trick him by using scripture, but Jesus stands firm in God's word and says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He says to the temptation to despair, he said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. God put me here for a purpose, and in that I will remain. And in the devil's temptation to succumb to evil, Jesus plainly quotes the first commandment, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. Worship only me. And because he knew these basics of the word of God, God delivered Jesus as well and sent angels in to protect him after the temptation was over. The same thing is true for us. God gives each and every one of you a sanctuary, a place of comfort. Even while we might feel pain around us, God has a peace that passes all understanding, and it's there offered to us to have. In our reading this morning from Genesis, thank you, Emily, we see Adam and Eve. They are given a place to live in the garden of evil. God says, all of this will sustain you and you will live greatly. There is this one tree with poison in it. Don't eat that. It's bad for you. And of course, we know how the story goes. But the point is this. God gives us everything we need. It's there for us. In this journey of ours, you don't have to eat poison to know that it's bad, right? Someone can tell you that something's poison. You can know that, and you don't have to eat it. You don't have to know it all the way. When someone utters lies and falsehoods, you don't have to dwell on them and listen to them and internalize them to know that they're wrong. You don't have to play with a scorpion to know that it'll hurt you. What we can do in our Lenten pilgrimage with God is to dwell in the dome, in the sanctuary that God gives us. Dwell in God's word. Dwell in the visions that he gives us. Receive the body and the blood. Remember our baptism. Be in the word. And indeed, God will journey with us no matter what we face to sustain us and to lead us into Christ's glory and resurrection. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast. And if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.